everyone, and welcome to Unfiltered Survivors with Amanda and the amazing Kelly.
Hello!
Happy spring? Are we in spring?
Spring.
We're in spring.
Yes.
I feel like the weather's still bipolar, so.
I know.
But hey, happy spring, happy April. Wow. 2022 is going by very fast. I just realized that.
Like a snap. Like, talk about the weather. Oh my gosh. It was like 30-something degrees, and then it was 82. I'm just, we're ready to get in the pool, and it's just like torture.
Yeah, it's almost time to wear a bathing suit. Yes, thank you for reminding me. Now I need to stop eating. Yes, no, but I'm ready for a break from the cold. Even though I enjoy the cold, I don't like the, like, hot, cold. Like, let's just pick something so I can start wearing. I can either get out of sweatpants or not. But don't tease me.
Yeah. You and Lillian, like, said the same thing. This morning, she was wearing shorts, and yesterday she was wearing really thick pants. So
see, it's like,
she's, like, over it.
So which one is it? Is it time to pull out the dresses, or do I keep my sweatpants? Because I love sweatpants. Don't get me wrong. Joggers are my thing, so I'm ready, but I'm excited for spring. I'm excited for a little more sunshine, for sure. I'm excited for many things, I guess I should be saying, because I'm totally downplaying this, as if I'm not getting married in a week.
Hello!
I am getting married in a week. Yes, it's April. So, yes, happy April, happy wedding month. Right. Wedding season is here.
It is. It's my anniversary month, too.
You see what I'm saying? It's wedding season. Everyone gets married in April. That's the month to get married. Yes, I am getting married in a week. I am very excited and happy. I'm ready. I'm learning that I'm not in control of everything, even though I want to be. I cannot control everything. I cannot control everyone, just like I think I am queen of everything. I cannot. But no, I'm excited. Edward and I, after what I feel like has been a journey, because even in the beginning of this podcast, he and I were really good friends, and we weren't dating yet, and then we started dating, right. And now here we are. So I feel like the podcast has kind of followed us with the journey, for sure. But we get married in a week, and we're excited, and we're getting married in Austin, which Austin is near and dear to our hearts for many reasons. It's one of the first places that he and I ever went on a vacation. It's one of our favorite cities in America. The food is phenomenal. The atmosphere, it's different than Houston. And not in a bad or good way, one is better than the other. It's not that. It's just different. And
the vibe is different.
The vibe is very much. If you haven't been to Austin, I definitely recommend it. There's so much things to do in Austin and even around it. And we're excited. We're looking forward to it. We chose to do kind of this like virtual thing in the sense of that we're only having our parents and our siblings come to the actual ceremony. And that's, to me, regardless of anyone else's opinion, COVID is still a thing in my world, for number one. Number two, I mean, you know, and being safe, not only for me, but for my parents, for Ed's parents, and, you know, my surrounding people, but also because we knew that we could fill up 1,000 rooms with all the people that we would want to be a part of it, and it just, that would be too much and just not safe or financially realistic. So we decided to do virtual. So we are live streaming our wedding, which is going to be fun and different and interesting because for two people that are A, very private, but B, I can talk in a room full of people. Ed is, that's not his thing. He's not a public speaker. If you've never met Ed, he's very quiet and he's very laid back. So he's like
very
clearly the opposite of me, right?
Yeah.
So that's not his thing, to talk in front of a large group of people, then let alone, like, express your feelings instead of a large group of people. So it'll be great because in his eyes, he's just doing it in front of his family and are my family, not realizing that there's, like, this little camera off to the side that's showing it to maybe, like, you know, 100-plus people.
Right.
I think this is a great way to go. I think that I really do think that live streaming will become a norm for weddings, period, honestly.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that realistically, it's not that expensive. It was a really, really realistic cost, especially if you're willing to use your phone. I'm excited for that. I mean, something that I've been planning for months now to finally just happen. I think that I'm ready for that. It's been a lot of change in my life in the past few months, and all good changes, but just changes. And I think that this is, you know, this will, to me, be like the icing on the cake to finally.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's always funny because when Ed proposed, he was like, yeah, I want to be done with all this within like 6 months. And I kind of just laughed because I was like, nobody gets married and engaged that fast. Like, you're crazy, man. But no, if all goes accomplished the way it's supposed to next week, he would have gotten his goal where he's gotten engaged and married within 6 months.
Right.
So,
Which
congratulations
is really crazy to think about. I wouldn't. It just seems like a lot longer.
Right?
It really does. Like, for the planning and for just for it actually happening, I just feel like it's been a lot longer than that. It's just so cool because, I mean, I remember when you first started talking about Ed, and then, like, when I met him, he truly is such a sweet soul. Mm-hmm. Like, he's, like, you can just see it in his eyes. He's just so kind and, like, nurturing and just a good guy. So I'm so excited for both y'all.
Thank you. Yeah, we're excited. I think we're ready. Well, as ready as we're going to be, let's just say it like that.
Right.
I've had to do many therapy to, like, you know, come up with a mantra. Like, it's not going to be perfect. Things are going to happen. That is life. And that's okay. As long, you know, as long as we're all healthy and enjoying ourselves, I think that that's what I need to focus on a little bit more. But the perfectionist in me is very, like, I want to make sure everything, and, you know, is on right. But, again, when you have a small group of people and they're all very different, you can't control all of that. So whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But ultimately, as long as we get married, that's all that ends up happening. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that. I will say that it isn't easy. I, for the most part, planned it by myself. And I say that to say, it's not that Ed didn't have an opinion, because he was very opinionated and very particular. And he picked a lot of things that people, that I didn't think he would care about. I for a long time, I would see the stuff or see the memes or, like, you know, the groom just comes, he doesn't care. Well, not my groom. He's going to get mad that I say this, but he was kind of like a groomzilla out of the two of us. He was more particular than I was. I'm very laid back. I think I cared more about the food than anything else, which isn't surprising, honestly. Where he didn't care about that as much. He cared more about colors and flowers. Where I was like, all I know is I'm eating.
Cared about food? What?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not cooking it, just so you know. I'm definitely not cooking it. Planning, I had to pace myself. I will say that my bullet journaling that I told you I got into at the end of last year really has came a long way. It really, I'm still maintaining it. I love that I'm maintaining it, but that helped me because every week I had goals that I was hitting. Like, this week I'm going to email this person, and this week we're going to get this done. And making these lists and having these goals, I was able to, what I think, accomplish this efficiently and not allow it to overwhelm me.
Yeah.
So I took it bit by bit, which made a huge difference for sure. And it also helped with budgeting, because you can even, like, have a budgeting page in the bullet journal. So I still am very pro bullet journaling. It really has helped me wonders. Or definitely something, if you have never tried bullet journaling, just something to consider and start out. I started out very small, just with the calendar portion, and now I've expanded and I'm able to track all kinds of things, from my sleep to how much water I'm drinking to everything. So bullet journaling.
The actual, like, journal, though, like, when you said, like, you started off with one thing, like, do you mean, like, there's different sections, or you
just
do it?
Like, okay, so when I first started, I was literally only, like, because I found sample pages. Like, I'm not a creative person, so I don't draw. But you can buy pages off of SD. You can find free ones on Pinterest, where someone's already designed it for, like, a calendar or trackers. And then I started off by printing them out and keeping them in a binder. And then I was just coloring them with my own colorful markers every day and keeping track of my life. Now I've expanded it, and because I am tech savvy, I got a bullet journal on my iPad. So now, because I take my iPad pretty much everywhere with me, or my phone, and then I track it now digitally. But I have a whole year's calendar now. I'm tracking different, I have multiple trackers, a budgeter, moods. I mean, I even have a silly page of movies I want to watch this year, and then I color in the popcorn as I watch them. So, like, I can't wait. Like, a Spider-Man, I was able to do that. And then I'm counting down to Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness. So different things I'm tracking. But the main thing was I wanted to track my mood for a whole entire year to see if I'm having more positive days than negative days, if I'm just all tired all the time, then I need to figure that out. So it allows me to track all of these different things, but you can also budget, you can have your goals for the year, weekly goals. So I have, like, goals for the year, you know, and goals in different ways. Like, I had wedding goals, I had financial goals, I had relationship goals for Edward and I that I wanted to, for he and I to accomplish. I love it. I know that you can expand even more than what I'm saying, because there's so many options of what you can do in your bullet journal, for sure. But I can say, because I was like, am I actually going to keep up with this? But when I moved it to my iPad, it definitely helped, because then it wasn't like, oh, where's that book? But I love it. It really has allowed me to track my mood. It allows me to cross things off. Like, did I do this today? Did I do that today? So, and including wedding plan, like, one of the goals was, like, every day do something for the wedding. And all the way up until April. And then after that, I have to change it from May. I have to find new goals. But I even had stuff like, did you work out today? Did you at least do 15 minutes of some type of working out? Yeah. That was, like, my goal. 15 minutes. I didn't care what it was. Yeah. And that kind of stuff. And then when you see, like, I think it was February where I didn't do nothing in the working out section, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
I need to color in at least one or two. Like, at least I tried. But it showed me, like, it made me be accountable because I didn't put anything in those boxes. So, obviously, I didn't do anything.
Right, yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I'm kind of, like, on a mini checklist for daily goals right now. But I made them up for myself, like just for me. But, like, there's other people that have reached out that are like, I like this because I needed to just get something on the board for me to just start to begin, you know. And I like the little checkoff part and, you know, just the things that are most important. And it just reminded me of that. I'm doing like a little 60-day thing, so.
But that's good. You have to start somewhere. That's what I feel like. Because when you start in the smaller steps, and this is just anything. I mean, wedding planning showed me that, but it just said anything that you want to accomplish, when you look at it, it just all looks super overwhelming because it's huge. So when I condensed it to just tunnel vision, like literally I started out with week by week. It helped me. Then I was able to expand to month. But it allowed me to realize, like, this is achievable. I just have to start really small and stop looking at the bigger picture. And then now as we are days, like the countdown went from months to days to now, like, you know, we're really close. I don't feel as overwhelmed because I was able to break it up to make sure that, you know, my goal was initially by April 1st, I wanted the bare minimum left for my wedding. I wanted dumb stuff like, I gotta go get my nails done. Little stuff, not like, oh, I might need something huge for my wedding. So I wanted to make sure that my last 2 weeks before my wedding were not like chaotic and like crying and like, oh my God, this is not. No, I wanted to try to go into this with minimum stress because I still have dialysis. I still have to maintain my health. I still have to do other things. So I had to find, you know, balance. But I definitely, I mean, it doesn't do bullet journaling, but like you're saying, simple checklist for yourself, a daily checklist. Just start out small and it can be dumb stuff. Like for me, financially, I wanted to spend less money eating out. Because you get real, it's real easy, especially when COVID hit, like we were ordering in, like it was just easier that way. But as inflation has happened, things are more expensive. Eating out is a lot more than what it used to be. So I wanted to focus more. And even though groceries are more expensive, it's still ultimately cheaper to cook at home.
Yeah.
So then I started a thing, a goal of every month, watching how much I cooked at home. So every time I cooked at home, I colored in a box. And it showed me, but I was averaging, especially in March, I was averaging cooking at home at least 4 nights a week. Where when I go back and look at February, there was some weeks where I was only cooking maybe once or twice. So I've at least increased it to where it's not that we're now eating out 3 nights a week, but like Thursday nights, Ed goes to Twin Peaks for his boys' night. So technically, I am cooking at home because I'm cooking for myself, but I'm not.
Right.
I don't count that because 9 out of 10, it's like, I call it dumb meals, but they're like just simple, you know? Like a sandwich or I call them dumb meals because they don't take me any effort, right? I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like they don't take me any effort, but like I'm literally start to finish done in 20 minutes. So I'm like, this is a dumb meal. This is really quick. I don't
care. Oh my gosh. You know, I get into these really bad rut where, well, I think I'm just a rut queen, but I can like meal prep for me, but I don't care about anybody else in the family. And so like Lillian or Thomas will be like, what's for dinner? I'm like, I don't know.
Figure it out. I think there's cereal there.
And so the easy meal is always like the turkey dogs and green beans and, you know. But Glenn and I were just talking about how we kind of got away from getting all of the like veggies in our diet and really cooking a lot and really making it purposeful and not just like flying by the seat of your pants. And I've just been like, we talked about it, you know, earlier, like I've just been so focused on like what's going to happen because all the crazy things that have been going on with my job and like whatever that I'm not really here and paying attention to the now, like the today,
correct,
like the immediate, you know. That just cracks me up. Dumb meals. Oh,
they're dumb meals. Because to me, they're not.
I get what you're saying, yeah.
But so, I will say this. Yeah. When I cook for masses, when I say, like, my mom and Ed and stuff like that, I purposely make sure there's a protein, there's, you know, some kind of carb. Nice. I'm all about balance eating, and there's vegetables. I always, granted, my mom may only eat one bite of that vegetable, but at least I made it, you know, because she's not a vegetable person, where Ed loves vegetables. And so do I. We make sure that we highly are putting them in there. So on Thursday, just as much as he's enjoying this boys' night, I focus less on making sure it's balanced, and it's just more like I'm eating. But so then that technically counts, right? And then, you know, on the weekends, that's when we're a little more, I will say, lax, but it's solely because our schedules are insane. And I say that for Friday and Saturday because I'm quick to make a Sunday dinner. I like a Sunday dinner for he and I. It's a process, but I wanted to focus more because it also helped me fall back in love with cooking, because I had, to me, I feel like I took a very long break from, like, cooking in the sense of, like, me coming up with stuff inside of my head, like, or me seeing something, making it, and then making it my own. That's, you know, where a lot of stuff came from for me, and I had lost all of that. Like, I was just like, okay, we're eating the same three things every week, at least I'm making it. I wanted to mix it up, especially now with all the things that you can do, from air frying to Instapot to using a grill. And now we're getting into my favorite season, which is grilling season, where we can go outside and put things on the grill or smoker. That's huge.
Yes.
So I love, that's one of my favorite parts, because I think for me, how I deal with Texas heat in the summer is the fact that I know I can still go outside and grill. Because grilling, it makes a huge difference. And you can grow everything from fruit to vegetables to proteins. I mean, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I put angel food on the grill one. Angel food cake, yes. And, like, I grilled it.
Wait, did you, angel, wait, no, never mind. See, this is my carb person. I thought you meant angel hair pasta.
No, angel food cake. Like, you know that cake, and you grill it, and then there's, like, a fruit sauce. It's a whole dessert thing that I've made before. But, I know. Peaches are great on the grill. Pineapple's great on the grill.
Yeah.
There's some great things. And, you know, I even seafood. I love making, like, shrimp kebabs and putting them on the grill, or a nice piece of salmon. So I will say that now that April's here, the one positive is, like, now we're getting into, like, the real grilling season of
food. That is exciting. That is very exciting. And it reminds me of how, you know, how I was saying about spring comes and you feel so much better, and the sun is shining more.
Yes.
And it's kind of like that seasonal depression that I really, like, I knew that I was in it big time, and probably the worst that I've been in a while for that. And it actually is, like, a real thing. It's called seasonal affective disorder.
Yes.
And usually people get it in the fall, maybe around early Christmas time, early holidays.
Yep.
And then you can either, like, get, you know, talk about it, get help. And then there's even light therapy, which I never had heard of, but I heard that it, when I was reading up on this, I was, like, fascinated with therapy, because it's proven to help people. So I just thought that was interesting. This is, like, if you ever feel you go into these dips and you don't quite know why, you feel depressed, you feel overly tired, and everything's still the same, but something changed. It could be just, you know, the season that it is. And some people are like, I, you know, just never would have thought that. So I just thought that it's like the flowers are blooming, and, you know, just the big things.
Well, I think what it is that, like me, who, like, people that dread the holidays, right? Because it just, it becomes overwhelming. So then you think, oh, I just feel blah because it's the holidays and we're busy and we have to spend money and that kind of stuff. But then it carries over to January, and what's your excuse then? But then I think people focus, well, here I go, I'm going to have these resolutions and I'm going to do this, that, and the other. Then they don't do that. And then by February, we're like, ugh, it's Valentine's. Ugh, everything sucks. And you think that you're blaming it on other stuff, not realizing that you ever think that maybe it's because there's less sun, it's dark and gloomy, where you live, the weather may suck, and it's not giving you that sunshine, that vitamin D, the beautifulness of this, and going out and having more activities with people, because we're all together for the holidays, but, like, January, February, March, people don't tend to do much together. There there aren't a lot of holidays that make you get together besides Valentine's Day, and that's really a couple thing. And then, but you're just kind of, like, in this place, and spring break hasn't hit yet, but then spring comes, and it's Easter, and it's, you know, spring breaks, and everything's sunny, and then all of a sudden you have a better mood again. So I think that it's really easy for people to not realize that maybe they do have seasonal depression. They just are blaming it on other things, because it's easier to say that. But I think that now mental health is more easily talked about.
Right.
I think that, you know, everyone is struggling a little bit, and light therapy. I think that some people think that you start therapy and then you're stuck there for the rest of your life. You right. don't. Some people just need a little help, and then they yes. find the coping, you know, coping tools, because I don't even call it mechanisms, coping right. tools and ways to deal with things, and then you don't have to see them again. You can be like, oh, right. I'll see you next year. Like, I think that there's a misconception a little bit about, like, yeah. if you start therapy, you're never getting out. That is not true. Right. You can totally take breaks. You can realize, you know what, I don't need to be here weekly or monthly. I can come back in 3 months and see where we are quarterly. Yeah. I think that that's something that needs to be talked about more. The fact that just because you start doesn't mean you're stuck in it.
Right, and yeah.
you're not the only one that's going through seasonal depression, because I think a lot of us are. They just don't realize it because they yeah. chalk it up to other things.
Right.
And
yeah.
not say,
I believe that yeah. for sure.
But it's something you have to look at, because if you're doing great in the spring and summer, then fall you kind of see, and then winter you're like, blah. Mm-hmm. Well, ding-ding-ding. You know, like, it's there. So, yeah. No, something definitely people should be talking about more, you know, yeah. looking into, because... Trust me, I never really thought of it that way. I will say that, but it would make sense. I mean, yeah. I'm just... But.
Yeah, it's like, you know, scientists talk about how, like, when you mention the light, you know, the seasons, and it's not as much sunlight, the vitamin D, like, the serotonin changes, yeah. your melatonin changes, like, everything, you know, body chemical-wise changes, and yeah. brain, and even... And it's crazy, but like in the colder months, you don't consciously drink water like you do in the summer months. It's just natural.
Ed said the same thing the other day.
Mm-hmm. Makes a difference too.
It makes a huge difference because your body is cold. If your body is cold, you don't want to be drinking water.
Right. So guzzling like 60 ounces, you know.
Yeah. So, but here in Texas, come later in April, we're gonna be. Begging yeah. for water, and then we right. maintain that to darn near October because yeah. it's so hot here. So Ed, like, because in the height of the summer, Ed can drink, I mean, honestly, 2 gallons of water in a day when yeah. he's really out in this, you know, in this environment right. working. But like in the winter, he's struggling just to get down a gallon, but then his yeah. body hurts more. And so he noticed it recently, and he said, I'm just going to really pay attention to drink water, drink water, drink water. And he noticed when he started drinking the water more, the body hurt less. So he yeah. can feel it, and he figured out what the issue is. He's like, but it's cold, so my body doesn't want the water.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm cold. So I'm like, okay, well then maybe we'll just start drinking more tea, because tea is still good for you, and he loves tea. So yeah. I'm like, maybe we just drink, you know, you drink more green tea. At least you're giving your body fluids mm-hmm. to kind of help, because he was like coming home and his whole body was hurting. But I'm like, but you don't have this problem in the summer.
Yeah.
And and so he kept joking. He's like, I'm old. I'm like, yeah, we're all getting old, but no, I think there's something to this. And then right. he recently started drinking yeah. the water again. He's like, I feel better. I'm like, oh, well, there we go.
Yeah.
Your body needs the water. But yes. I think that it all takes, you have to listen to your body. You have to really look at things. And, you know, it's real easy to ignore stuff and be like, oh, I just don't feel good. I'm going to go to bed. But right. it's, you know, if you really take the time for yourself, and it goes back to self-care, you can figure yeah. out things and make yourself feel better, because that makes a huge yes. difference. I don't think that people realize how much, A, water means, but B, how it makes a huge difference if you focus on yourself just a little bit.
Yeah, I've started to focus more on me recently, and I found that my acts of self-care feel like major feats. Like, I'm like, yes, I boiled eggs today. Or, yay, I opened the blinds today. Like, something, sometimes it can just be like the smallest things, mm-hmm. but they truly are like acts of self-care, and yeah. they don't have to be like these huge, big moments, you know, mm-hmm. or gestures for yourself. Like, they are truly like the small, really great, mindful things that will help you thrive, whether it's like food wise, water intake wise, mental wise, reading yeah. your, you know, daily meditations and doing your meditations and scriptures or whatever you choose to do, like truly making time to do that. And in my little daily checklist, I did add in 10 minutes of reading mm-hmm. because I found that I was just not doing anything like that at all. And then the body talk, like I just really started listening to my inside voices, and the really negative ones were way more dominant than the mm-hmm. normal positive ones. Yep. I'm like, where did you go, positive ones? I need you back.
Yeah.
So I made it a point to, like, really pay attention to those negative voices and criticisms inside going on internally and switching them, shutting them off, turning them around. And it shocked me the first, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 days, like, just how much I was beating myself up. Like, mm-hmm. I knew that I had, like, internal battles. I did not realize that it was, I felt like almost every single thing I said was horrible. I would never say that to someone, but yet here I am internally saying all these horrible things. So that has been such a great freeing thing to realize, really, even though it sucked, but to try to figure it out and turn it around has been huge. Like, it makes me sad sometimes because I'm like, oh my God, I would never want my daughter to talk to herself like this.
Yeah.
And it's an eye opener for sure. And then I feel like, how did I get to this point? Like, it's life, you know, and trying to pull yourself up out of your funks is hard to do.
Very hard.
Yeah.
No, that is probably one of the hardest things, is to get out of the rut, get out of the funk, and stay consistent. Because you, like, it's a high and low. Like, sometimes you'll get really high and do really well, and then, like, for 2 weeks, and then, bloop, you're back where you were. So it's the consistent of doing it and then maintaining it. It's not easy. I mean, and body dysmorphia is, oh, my gosh, so real. Oh, my Lord. It's probably one of the things that I struggle with still the most. And no matter how much weight I've lost or how different I look, it still, to me, I only see one very, very fat girl in that mirror. And there's nothing that will change my mind. And it's not the case. And I, you know, and it's just, it's hard. And it got even worse when I had to, like, put on a wedding dress and like, try dresses on and all this kind of stuff. And I'm still like, I don't want to show my arms. And they're arms. Who cares? That day, I promise you, there's not any person that's going to be like, oh my God, look at her arms. That's not even going to be on someone else's radar, but it's on mine. Right. That's the thing. It's the stuff that we don't even think people think about. But, like, my arms have probably been my biggest weakness. Like, and I don't, what's that word? Like, my biggest ugh that I hate about myself. Like, you know, when people are like, what's the one thing you love about your body?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's the one thing that you hate? My answer's always been my arms. I don't know why. It's the weirdest thing, but I've always hated my arms. That is, because that's not a norm for people. Really, it's not. They're like, oh my God, or that, girl, I hate showing my arms. That's just for whatever reason. And I'm like, ugh. That was like, and even when I, like, started looking for wedding dresses, like, what's your one thing? Oh, it has to have sleeves.
Yeah.
You live in Texas. You're getting married in April and you want sleeves. Yes, I want sleeves.
Yes, I want.
I think sleeves. If I got married on a beach in July, I still would have said, we're going to wear sleeves. And people were like, are you? And I know you would have been like, Anna, what are you doing? We're wearing sleeves.
Yeah. No, I understand that. I mean, I honestly feel semi, probably not the, as much as you loathe your your arms, but I do have issues with mine. And this morning, for instance, I coached the 5 a.m., 6 a.m. class. And what did I wear? I wore a sweatshirt.
See? That would have been me, though. I would have been the same thing. I like 3/4 sleeves or longer. Like, even some short sleeves, if they don't have, like, cover at least, like, half the top arm, oh, I'm not buying that.
Yeah.
Like, you, like, I just, I don't, it's, and it's sad because we live in Texas. It gets hot here. A tank top, there's nothing wrong with that, girl. I'd rather sweat it out. I will sweat it out. And it's dumb because I can promise the man I love does not care two craps about my arms. Like, no one is saying anything about my arms. Yeah. But in my mind, I think when people see me, all they see are, like, you know, these arms, I'm just like, oh.
Like, two arms walking around.
Yeah, that's it. Nothing else matters. Nothing else. And I tell you, there's, like, everything that's happened to me, there's scars in other places. None of that matters to me.
I know.
Like,
I know.
I'll rock a scar because I've heard the stories of people that are like, oh, I hide my scar. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? I'm more focused on hiding my arms than my scar. I don't give two shits about that. I'll show my dialysis catheter. People will ask me if I have cancer. That doesn't bother me. But if they were to ask me about my arms, I would die right there. That makes no sense, right? But that's my complex. I don't like my arms. And I know that you guys say, well, just start doing arm exercises. I've done all of that. Even I can show you when I was training for the transplant games, probably one of the skinniest I've been in my adult lives, because I was training twice a day to compete in these games. And my arms were probably the thinnest they've been in my adult life. Yeah. Oh, I still hated my arms. Still hated them. And they had muscles. I was in better shape. Yeah. No. So I think that, you know, that's my mental. And the thing about it is it's hereditary. My dad's side and my mom's side, everybody has big arms. That's just, it's a hereditary thing.
Yeah.
We have bigger arms, and then my mom's side has the bigger legs. And I have bigger legs, but I also walk on my tiptoes, so my calves are huge from that. That doesn't bother me. My arms do. So it's to say all of that, to say that we all have something. Body dysmorphia is something that I think that you and I will forever talk about, because even with all the positive talk, it's hard there's something about that that's hard to disconnect. Have I gotten more comfortable on my skin, period? Yes. And I say this, I wear less black all the time, because there was a point in life where I only wore black. Like, they're like, you don't own no other color. I don't. Where now I am more comfortable wearing certain colors and adding more color to my wardrobe. Do I still own, like, I think it's like something like 50 black shirts? Yes.
Yeah.
But in all fairness, the Steeler colors are black, so a lot of those are those. But I think if they were another color team, then we would be different. But it takes time. And, you know, and like I said, I am more comfortable in my skin than I used to be. I at least wear shorts again.
Because
there was a time where I didn't wear shorts. Right. You know, so it's a work in progress. But I don't know if maybe getting married and now not having to worry about dating or trying to meet someone may change my approach this summer. I guess we'll find out this summer, won't we? When I'm a married woman, at that point, I'm stuck with Ed. Ed's stuck with me. Who gives a crap? It's just, and I think that maybe Ed has rubbed off on me because he has a lot more just like, I don't care. Like, he's not that he doesn't care. He works out. He tries to take care of himself. But irregardless, he doesn't, like, drone on it like I do. Or I'm like, does this look okay? Do I look fat? And he looks at me, he's like, if you don't just come on. Because he just throws on clothes and, like, we're just going. Like, and sometimes he'll have wrinkles and he's just like, I don't care. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. I want to be like that, where I literally just walk out of my house. Because he's like, unless it really bothers you, I'm really not going to change anything.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being like that, Kelly? What would we stress about then? If you and I didn't worry about how we look and all this, what would we stress about? I guess maybe when you think about that, what would be our stressor if we didn't care about this other stuff?
I don't even know.
What would we think about? Because I don't even know would we even be able to have a podcast, really? Because we would just be so busy doing all this stuff.
Right.
When you really think about it, it's just like, if I wasn't being so hard on myself, what would I be thinking about?
Oh my gosh.
That's a question.
That really need to dive into that.
Yeah. If I wasn't being so hard on myself, what would I be thinking
about? I feel like you'd have like some kind of cooking show.
Like, we would maybe be more proactive, active, doing other things. If I wasn't being so hard on myself, if I wasn't like talking myself out of certain things, where would I be?
Right.
This is the question.
Maybe we should like make that a thing.
Yeah.
Like maybe put that on a small bullet on a checklist of breaking free of that and see where it gets us in a year or something. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I've never thought of that.
Yeah. This is, write that down. We're going to really think about this and we're going to hit this conversation again. If I wasn't damn near bullying myself mentally, where would I be? What would I have accomplished by now? What could I be accomplishing?
So if we weren't thinking about all the
negative things of ourselves, or the things that we can't do, what would we do?
Okay, I got it written down.
We're going to come back to this conversation. If you guys have the answer, or you think of some things, this isn't just us. Think about this.
Yeah.
Truly, because... And is that and then I go back to him like, is this the survivor part of it? Because you've had this traumatic event.
Yeah.
And now, like,
you know, I still sometimes feel this overwhelmingly pang of guilt for being here.
Yep. Survivor's
because
guilt.
I don't understand why I survived. And I just wonder if sometimes I don't understand it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. If anybody else negative talks too much or thinks that you think that you talk negatively to yourself too much, and, you know, maybe actively try to dispel that and to turn it into, like, productive, positive, self-loving, just badassery. Like, where would you be? Like, what would you pursue, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What would you be able to accomplish?
Yeah.
Because that's huge. Because when you really, I mean, if we broke it down how much we thought the other stuff, we would have so much time in the day.
Yeah.
You know how much brain space I could clear?
Oh, man.
See? So it's something to think about. It's something to truly think about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to come back to this. We really are.
We will.
But we want to thank you guys for listening and hanging out with us, especially on social media. We're always active on there. If you are someone who wants to share your story or just reach out to us, we're always here on Unfiltered Survivors at Instagram, Facebook. I think we're even on Twitter.
Twitter.
Kelly controls all of that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or you can email us at unfilteredsurvivors@yahoo.com. But we're always here to listen, and thank you guys for listening to us. I guess when we come back, I will be a married lady.
She gonna be married.
Oh, gosh. It's real. But, no, we're excited, and Kelly will definitely be sharing all of the photos and things and keep you guys posted as I get married, I guess, for lack of a better word. She has been doing. She's been doing a good job. It's a constant reminder for me, though. I'm like, oh, the days are counting. Kelly's counting. I'm counting. But they're all good, and we're very excited. And, you know, the goal is to eventually have Ed on the podcast so he can share his side of the story, as I like to say. But, yes, thank you guys for listening. And as always, guys.
Yeah, remember to live life unfiltered.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.